Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How impressed were you by what Ed Oliver was able to do and the force he was in that game?
Yeah, I mean, I made it, you know, I keep it real with the defense all the time and pointed him out specifically. Not only to me, is that the best overall game he's played, but one of the better, you know, it was a really good performance. And it's a credit to his, to the way he's practiced over training camp. I think you guys saw it and how disruptive he's been. Really cool to see Ed, even from last year to this year, has matured in a tremendous way. But, you know, when I'm talking football maturity, and he's really becoming a leader, which is cool to see. And, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Sean talked about little things that kind of go unnoticed in a game. We see the stats. We see the sack. We see the strip.
Yeah.
There's a play in the fourth quarter where he drives the guard back. And Derek has to go left. And everybody now is flowing to the play where there's no hole. Yep. Can you just kind of take us into how that all comes together and what it means?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for D-line, a lot of times – they make plays that are not seen, right? And they're not going to show up in the – we turn them into stats and we call them factors. So whether that's taking two blockers, allowing a linebacker to run free because they're going to hang it, there's a lot of things that go into it. But all those little things, Sally, you're talking about, they go unnoticed a lot of times, and it's good that you noticed it. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unsung heroes, and I'll give you a great example. Ed Sack, I believe it was the first third and long.
First drive.
They had converted to, I think, third and shorters, and then there was a penalty, and then they ended up in third and seven, maybe. Greg, on the defensive left side, rushes the edge, counters at the level. Lamar peeks at him to escape, can't escape because Greg's doing his job, tries to step up, and here's Ed. You know, so that's an example of not just Ed, but another guy that, you know, and that is very meaningful, and that is us growing and building together, you know, with different parts, like Joey Bosa being in there and all that, and us getting in sync and getting in rhythm with each other in NFL games.
You can't put a helmet sticker on a guy like you would in college. For
Yeah.
How do you reward that?
Yeah, I mean, we show the defense and celebrate it. We celebrate all the good things, and we are very firm with the things that need to be corrected. And certainly we had enough of those, and there was a lot of good yesterday, but, you know, the in-between wasn't good, and we need to get that corrected quickly.
Taking that into account and knowing that there's got to be a little bit of patience with some of the things, but no excuses.
That's right.
How difficult, or how are you able to swallow, you know, just some of the numbers, like 238 yards rushing?
Yeah.
That you gave. How difficult is that?
Yeah, I mean, look, the most important stat is the W. The most important stat is the letter. And you know, no one in the defensive room thinks anything of that nature was acceptable, right? You look at, I think, third and six plus, we were 6 for 8, which is a good thing. They were 1 of 3 in the red zone. That's a good thing. But all the stuff in between that you're talking about is unacceptable. And our players know that. They know that. And, you know, we just talked today about doing your 1-11. You know, and how important that is, and the mixture of the young guys with the old guys, and we've got to be connected on our styles of play, and, you know, all those type of things. So very important that we get those corrected, and that we're very intentional this week about getting those things corrected. It's a lot easier to make those corrections after a win, you know, and there's a, you know, naturally as a human, there's a better vibe after you win, right? So we need to get those things corrected, and we will. We will. We'll be very intentional this week about getting those things.
Does it help in any way knowing that you're playing, from what we saw from the Jets yesterday, and I'm not sure if we've gotten a film yet, but they seem to have a very much of a running attack.
Yep.
And with a mobile quarterback, does it help facing a similar style?
Absolutely. And that's really what the NFL is turning into, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what it's – look at our quarterback, you know. But absolutely it does. Every week is going to be a little bit different. It's going to present a little bit different. But certainly AG's done a great job in New York so far. You know, their offense, I don't know what they did defensively, but I know their offense did a really nice job yesterday. So we've got our hands full again. It's the NFL, and, you know, the most important thing is taking care of us.
What did you make of Dorian Strong?
I'll tell you what, I thought Dorian Strong you know, you never know what it's like for the young guys coming in, especially at the corner position. That's a tough position. You know, I believe that the two hardest positions in the NFL to play are quarterback and cornerback. And he did not blink. He went out there, did not flinch, challenged. Certainly there's some things he's got to improve on, but that was one of the highlights is the way Dorian played. That's a credit to him and his preparation. He's very professional. Really, really cool to see.
You've been here for
nine.
All the Derrick Henry matchups over the years, Tennessee to Baltimore. Does it ever feel like kind of spinning your wheels a little bit in the moment against him because of how much you've seen him? Continues to have so much success.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's going to wear a gold jacket, right? He's going to wear a gold jacket. You know, we've had our games against him where we've had success, and we've had games where he's had more success against us. You know, regardless of who we play, there's a certain way you got to go about the opponent. I've talked about awareness of your opponents, and there's some things in there, A, that we have to do, you know, when it just comes to us, like people doing their jobs. And, you know, the more you increase the amount of people not doing their jobs, the worse the result's going to be. And if we can get 11 people doing their jobs and understanding what the strengths and weaknesses of each defense are, playing and play out, we'll be in pretty good shape. But those plays that you saw in between where it didn't look good, that's usually a result of that. Not taking anything away from Derrick Henry. I mean, he's unbelievable. But, you know, when you start worrying too much about the opponent, you lose sight of who you are. So we've got to take care of our fundamentals, our jobs, our eyes, our keys, and we just got to get back to square one with it.
Bobby, safety was a big topic of conversation mm-hmm. throughout the summer. Sean addressed it a lot.
Yep.
Taylor and Cole didn't have a ton of time together in the summer because of injuries. What did you make of their performance together in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was some good things in there, and then I think there was some plays that each of them would want back. You know, every game's not going to be – every game for every position isn't going to be, you know, hunky-dory. You know, using two safeties that were here before, Mike and Jordan, every game wasn't. So it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters about the last game is what we do moving forward and understanding the improvements we got to make. Like I said, they each had some – did some good things, and there were some plays that they would want back. There's no doubt – that they're aware of that, like every player is, and they want to be really good. They put the work in to be really good, and you know we'll just continue to bank the reps and of them together, as you talked about, Jay, and you know we'll continue to grow. Look, if we're peaking right now, we're peaking at the wrong time.
What did you notice about Joey Bosa's first game as a Bill?
Joey Bosa played his tail off, man. Played his tail off, plays hard, very intentional, wants to be really good. You know, and it's too bad he was rushing really well yesterday. You know, it's too bad he didn't end up with a sack, but he affected the passer, that's for sure. You know, and that's a good passer we went against yesterday.
Is that where you want him 70% of the snaps for the season, or is it kind of going to be – see how it goes?
It's a game-by-game basis. think it was at 60-some. I think it was at like 64 or something like that. It was 69. Yeah, no, we'll probably pull that down a little bit. We'll probably put first game, you know, it was only 53 plays. You know what I mean? And we manage that as we go through the game. So we'll make sure we know where Joey's at physically and make sure we kind of target exactly where we want it.
It seemed like they did a good job of getting up on the ball, going quick.
Yeah.
Making sure you couldn't identify yep. quickly. And in that stadium, it's so loud. Is that –
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the sideline. That seems like it's a
– Oh, yeah.
Can you take us through that?
Yeah, I mean, the every home game, one of the first keys to victory, is our operation. You know, and we got to make sure – we got to do a good job, and it starts with me making sure that our operation is one that can be in that stadium with the quality of fans that we have is that we can all operate and communicate accordingly. You know, we want the volume to make it hard on the, but the volume also affects us. You know, and they were getting up there quick, you know, and I think it was interesting, you know, they had different personnel because they had two guys out, you know, that they're used to playing a lot of snaps. So, you know, it was a little bit of a chess game in there of trying to figure out exactly what it was. But they did a good job mixing tempos and all that type of stuff and not allowing the crowd to get to them.
Bobby, with Cole in particular, because he plays safety and, you know, your secondary plays generally every snap of the game, how do you balance with a young player getting him that experience, which he needs, and there's only one way to get it, versus, you know, you could have 9 great plays, but if the 10th one is a disaster – that could cost you a game. So
yep.
How do you balance, you know, getting them that experience, but if things aren't going well, saying to myself, okay, well, we may need to make a change.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jay, I think that any player that plays 9 plays and the 10th play is a disaster can cost you, especially in the secondary. And
I guess what I mean by that, though, is, like, if you take a defensive lineman, you're rotating, there's times where he's on the sideline. His position,
yeah.
You're just talking to him.
Yeah.
You don't have that luxury with a guy in the secondary.
Yeah, no. I mean, the secondary, I mean, you talk about linebackers for the most part in the secondary, and it's flipped on offense, right? The 5-0 linemen play the whole game, but the wide receivers don't play the whole game. You know, so, you know, there's going to be bad plays. There's going to be bad plays. You think about back to the Hail Mary. What people call the Hail Mary, although there were still like 30 seconds left on the clock. I don't know if everybody remembers, but the 3 people that were standing next to the receiver were the 3 all pros, and they didn't come down with the ball. So stuff's going to happen in football. What you got to make sure is that your positive plays outweigh the negative plays. If you think a player's going to be perfect, we're all wrong. We're all wrong. Everybody's going to have a bad play. Everybody's going to have a bad play here or there. And a lot of times what might look like someone's bad play is actually not their bad play. It's, you know what I mean? It's somebody else's, and they happen to be in the area trying to make up for it because they actually did something well. So long story short is that in the secondary, it is – that's like I was talking about with Dorian. Starting as a rookie at corner, that's tough, man. That's tough in this league. And in the secondary specifically, like at quarterback – it is feast or famine a little bit back there, you know, and that's what you sign up for. You want to play DB in this league? That's what it is. I don't know if I answered your question.
What did you see from Terrell?
I thought Terrell started out pretty fast. He did some good things. Think overall there was a little bit too much thinking on our part. A little bit too much thinking, and we'll get that handled on our – but Terrell Bernard's a good football player. He's a good football player. He needs to take advantage of you know, all our players need to take advantage of the opportunities that come. That's what it's all about. Put yourself in position each play. When your opportunity comes, take advantage of it. Make the most of your opportunity. You know.
How have you seen TB most of all over the years?
TB?
Yeah, to stay on him.
Yeah. Just his, you know, he would tell you that his rookie year, he was like, well, just spinning. Just what is happening right now? You know, but I mean, I feel that he's in complete control of what's going on, you know, for the most part. You know, if we add a little tweak here and there, obviously he's going to have questions about, hey, what do we want to do here? What do we want to do there? But, Yeah, I mean, I just think the control of what he's doing is noticeable.
It's cliche to say a guy's always around the ball. The ball seems to find him. But in Terrell's case, it seems to be the case. He just seems to come up with the football.
There's something to that.
How is that? Why is that? What allows him to
I don't know. I have no idea. There's those people that just the ball finds them, you know. I can't explain it. Same thing. I always say if I don't know when this game was invented, but the people that are usually square to the line of scrimmage on defense usually play pretty well. I don't know why that is. You know what I mean? And so it's the same idea. I can't explain.
I think about like you take it to the basic level. You do pursuit drill.
Yeah.
I watch guys at the end of plays. Some guys just everybody's supposed to. You go through the play all the time, like you're almost running. Running backs run in the end zone. Doesn't
right.
matter, right? I mean, little things like that. Are those things you can point to?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think there's two versions of it. You know, we call it, you know, some of us call it the disease or the fever of the ball. And I think there's two sides of it. There's the guys that the ball finds them. And I don't know why, but the ball just kind of finds them. And then there's the guys that attack the ball. So I'll give you a great example. Joe Dana was presenting. We talk about our takeaways after games. And he was presenting, and he brought up the story that at some point Ed had got the fever, the disease of the ball, and he's always thinking about the ball. You guys see it. We do takeaway circuit every week and, you know, all those type of things. So I think there's a little bit of a unknown of why the ball shows up around some guys, and usually it's because guys put themselves in position. But then secondly, there's a disease or fever of the ball where guys are going after it, you know. So I think it's twofold.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.